My, my, what good singing. And I love the song selections, and I love coming to Bethel. Every time I'm with this congregation, I am encouraged and always leave stronger as a Christian. And I want to say something to this church. I think I was with you on a Sunday evening when Jimmy was gone about, I'm going to guess, a year and a half ago. You'd been in this building, what, 2 years now? Almost. It was about 3 or 4 months afterwards. And I cautioned you, don't take this for granted. Tonight, I'm renewing that caution. I'm guilty of taking blessings for granted. It's one of my weaknesses. I really, every day, you know, we just, all kinds of conveniences and comforts and blessings through people, we take it for granted. And that which, to which we are accustomed is something that we take for granted. This is a great building. It's a great facility. And you are blessed to have it. I'm sure that there are some things about it that you personally would have done differently, because that's just the way we are as people. But it's a great place, and I'm happy for you. And I want to tell you, and I don't want this to sound like I'm flattering him, but I love Jimmy Clark. I'm so thankful for every opportunity I have to be with him. Every time I hear him preach, I learn something. He teaches me, and he helps me. There's no doubt in my mind that I'm a stronger Christian and a more faithful and effective gospel preacher because of our relationship. And I think maybe that you would agree with that, but don't take him for granted either. Men of his caliber don't come along every day. And I think he mentioned, my mind wandered off for a moment earlier, but I think he mentioned my taking part in SBE. By his gracious invitation, I get to teach during those SBE classes. And one of the things that I always look forward to in those sessions is when we take our break after we've gone about 30, 35, 40 minutes. We take a break, let everybody get a cup of coffee, and then they come back for the final part. That's when Jimmy and I will start discussing what I've been teaching. And then we sit there and we talk, and we take it a little bit deeper and spread it out a little bit more. Those are rich moments. Brother, I love you, and I thank God for you. And tonight we have a lot of good friends here, people that I've known in Lincoln and other places and scattered out over this audience, and I could stand and reminisce for a long time and talk about them, but that's not why we're here. And I truly wish I could be here tomorrow night to hear my good friend Tommy Dozier preach in this meeting. But over a year ago, I committed myself to be at Meade's Chapel in Nashville. They have the Restoration Revisited lectureship every year at this time. And I committed myself to be with them tomorrow night. But I know that you will enjoy and benefit from Tommy's lesson. And Larry tells me it'll be on the internet, so I'll get to listen later. So let's get busy. Some of you know the name Ryan O'Rourke and his wife, Kelly. They are sponsored by the West Fayetteville Church of Christ as missionaries in Galway, Ireland. They've been over there now a little over 2 years, about 3 years, in fact. Galway, to kind of give you a little orientation on this, you know, Ireland is an island that is on the western side of Europe, and Galway is on the western side of Ireland, a metro area of about 250,000 people. And when Ryan and Kelly went there, to their knowledge, there was no Christian in Galway. They did find a few scattered out in some of the other places, but none in Galway. And so they began from ground up. Some of you have taken a great interest in that work. And in the last session of SBE, I think I told some of you that were in that class what I want to tell all of you now. To have a gospel meeting, those people over there basically wouldn't even know what that meant. You could even say, we're going to have a vacation Bible school, and that really wouldn't tune them in like it does us. So Ryan and Kelly did some thinking, and they thought, you know, one of the best ways to reach a family is through the children. So instead of having a vacation Bible school, they decided they would have a summer Bible camp. All kids love camps. So they would have a summer Bible camp. And they would bring these children, if they could get any of them to come, they would bring them in there and keep them 4, 5, 6 hours and teach a Bible class, go outside, do a little recreation, come back and teach some more, and then go outside for some more recreation, come back for another session. And they thought, in the very beginning, if they could get maybe even a dozen, that would be a good start. They enrolled over 53. They had 53 on roll, and then 2 or 3 more came when it actually started. They were elated. They just had a second one, incidentally, 3 weeks ago, and had 81 this time. And they follow that up with Friday night Bible study. And they just had 61 night before last for that family Bible study. And one of the moms of one of the children that was there last year has since been baptized. So it's bringing good. But there was a moment in last year's family Bible camp that I cannot get out of my mind. We sent 6 people from West Fayetteville over there to help in that camp. One of them was one of our deacons and his wife. And when they got back home, Steve was asked by the elders to come to the pulpit and give us a report about it. Steve said, I was teaching a Bible class that was comprised of 10, 11, 12-year-olds. And he said we had just completed a class. And he said we were taking a little break and had some refreshments. And he said I was standing there holding my Bible. He said I wasn't holding it up like that, but he said I was just standing there holding it. And he said, this little girl, he said, I'm not sure of her age, but 11 or 12, because that was the age category. She came up and said, Mr. Steve, is that your Bible? And he said, yes. And she said, may I hold it? I've never had a Bible. I've never touched one. And I sat there listening to Steve tell that, and I thought, oh, wow. This little girl has a soul that Jesus died for, and she's never even held one in her hands. And I immediately did a quick mental inventory, and on a shelf right behind my desk in my study, I have maybe 20, 25 different copies of the Bible and different versions and so on. Talk about taking things for granted.
How many copies of these do you have at home? And if you were to lose one, you know where the bookstores are. You go get another one. Now, to complete that story, needless to say, Steve made sure that before he left Galway last year, that little girl had her own copy of the Bible. I want to talk to you tonight about that Bible that you and I take for granted. The Bible that reveals God to us. And the importance of that book. This is the book that teaches us about our Creator. Now, I'm fully aware that the Bible tells us in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. And we are aware of how this vast universe just screams out to us, God lives. I'm told that you and I can go out on a clear night and look up at the starry skies and with our eyes, maybe with an extra set of eyes, that we can see about 3,000 stars. I remember as a boy trying to count them. But then through a telescope, we understand we can see millions. We understand that vast galaxy that we're a part of called the Milky Way. And the diameter of it is 100,000 light years. I mean, that means if you could travel at the speed of light, it would take you 100,000 years to go from one side of the Milky Way to the other. And that's just one galaxy, and the astronomers tell us there are over a billion of them. And I think about the vastness of this universe, and I think about the mathematical precision with which God created all of it. You see, right now we're on this globe that's traveling over 66,000 miles an hour in an elliptical orbit around the sun. And to keep everything just as it needs to be, every 18 miles it adjusts itself to stay 1/9 of an inch precisely as it needs to be. For if it goes off course to a 1/10, ultimately we go out into space and freeze to death. If we go back 1/8 of an inch and it gets closer and closer to the sun, we incinerate, you know, all of those things that we learn about it. It's on its axis, tilted at 23.5 degrees. That gives us all the seasons of the year. If it stood straight up, we wouldn't have the season. There are just all kinds of information like that, and you just think about that and you think, wow, what does that tell me? But there is a God. Wait a minute. What that tells you and me is there is intelligent design. There is a higher power somewhere. This did not just happen. It is not a part of the evolutionary process, the Big Bang theory and so on. And there are people who do not even believe in Jehovah who will say that this universe tells us that there is intelligent design to this. But I have a question for you. What do you know about that one who is the intelligent designer? From looking at a star, or looking at a beautiful sunset, or looking at a full harvest moon? What does that tell you about His sovereignty, or His righteousness? What does that tell you about His love, His boundless love, His amazing grace, His perfect justice? And what does it tell you about His faithfulness to His word? All of His words are sure. All of His ways are right. All of His laws are perfect. Do you learn that from looking at a starry sky? Where do you learn about all of that? The Bible. This is what tells us what our Father is really like. It tells us His nature. It tells us His character. It tells us not only who He is, but who we are, and where we're from, why we're here, and where we're going. And it teaches us our relationship to Him. The Bible. I want you to think about that. And my mother was one who, before the days of texting and email and all of that, mother, still at Fried Hardeman, she'd write. And I don't think I ever received a letter from her while I was in college, but what she would write something about God's amazing creation. And I love her for it. And I behold it and I'm just amazed. But that doesn't tell me about God's nature and who He is. Without the Bible, you and I would not know all of these wonderful things about our Father. So, it reveals God to us. But not only that, it reveals God's will to us. It is the book that the Apostle Paul said is given by inspiration of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, wait a minute, what do we mean by that? When we say it's all given by the inspiration of God, well, by the inspiration of God, we simply mean the in-breathing of God into mortal man that enables just a mere mortal man to receive a divine message without error and then gives him the ability to communicate that divine message without error. I know that's greatly oversimplifying the definition, but in essence, that's what the inspiration of the Scriptures mean. The inspiration of the Scriptures simply mean that the Scriptures, the Holy Bible, are fully inspired of God. Or to rephrase it, what the Bible says to be the case is what God says to be the case. That's what the inspiration of the Scriptures mean. And you see, the Bible teaches us in Scriptures like Hebrews 6:18 that it is impossible for God to lie, or if you want to rephrase that, God cannot tell that which is not true. And since this book is His Word, since this is what He says and He cannot say that which is not true, then you can take it to the next step and say, the Bible cannot say that which is not true. Every word of it is what God says to be the case. So that means this is not just another book. It's not just a family heirloom. It's not just a time-tested treasure. It's God speaking to us. This book tells us the purpose of human life. God had a design, a purpose for you and me. And He states it explicitly in the Scriptures, I created you for my glory. And that's why we're here. We're not here for taking another vacation. We're not here to go to another day of work. We're not here to build our bank account. We are here made in the image of God with the holy and spiritual purpose of living in a way that honors Him. I would think that you would understand that before Jimmy or I or Tommy or whoever comes to a pulpit like this, that we pray. And I prayed as I left my study today. And I said, Father, my prayer is that You will be honored and pleased with what I offer in service to You tonight. But that ought to be my prayer when I'm headed to Walmart. It ought to be my prayer when I'm talking on the phone or I'm on the computer. That in everything that I do, there is dwelling within me this embedded concept, this comprehension of who I am and what I'm about. So it doesn't matter what your walk of life is. It doesn't matter how you earn your living. It doesn't matter what your favorite recreation is. Those things differ from person to person, but we all have this one thing in common, that we are made by God in His image for a special purpose. We are spiritual beings on a spiritual journey from birth to death. And how we live that is not up to us. It's up to our Maker. And that book teaches us what His will is for us. But also, not only does it reveal God and reveal His will, but it reveals to us the most important message in all of the world. You may have your TV on and you hear late breaking news. In my email services, I'm a subscriber to newspapers and television stations that give you late breaking news. And they may tell you about something that will affect you. May not be dangerous to you, but it's information that's vital to you. For an example, tomorrow when I go to Nashville to speak at Meade's Chapel, I'm not going up I-65 because it'll be in the afternoon, late afternoon, and that big fair of Williamson County is going on, and they've already been warning everybody there's construction on I-65. It has it backed up for miles, and now all of the traffic going to the fair, stay off of there. So I'm going the back road. See, that's the information for me that helps me. But there is no message that will ever come across from Channel 5 or the Tennessean or the Huntsville Times or any place else that even compares to what this book tells me. Because this book tells me, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. May I remind you the condition of the world in general? People are lost. They're headed to eternal destruction because they're under the condemnation of God because of their sins. Now, frighteningly, some of them are not even aware of that, but some are. And I talked to a young man earlier today who said, I need guidance. I need to know what to do. There is nothing that you will ever read that's more important than that. There's nothing that you will ever believe that's greater in its importance than that. And there is no message that you can ever share with anybody that will exceed the importance of that message. People need to know the one who created them loved them that much, and the one that he sent, his only begotten son, gave himself as an atonement for our sins. Because we're the ones that have sinned. That puts us under the condemnation of God. We have offended God by our sins, and something has to happen to make that right, and we're incapable of making it right within ourselves. And God says, I'll make the sacrifice. I'll do that which is necessary to appease my wrath, to bring you back to my good favor, to be reconciled to me. And when I begin to comprehend that at all, that's when I just drop my head and say, Lord, I'm not worthy of that. And he knows that. But he loves me. Now, how am I going to know that and not love him back? Some people call the Bible a book of history. The next time you hear that phrase, break that word up. His story, it's his story. That's why the Bible's important. Not only does it give you the greatest message in all of the world, but it reveals to you God's regulations for your lives. Now, we all understand regulations. I dealt with them today coming down Old Railroad Bed Road. Speed limits, stop signs, traffic lights, stripes down the center of the highway, regulations. We know we have to have them. Otherwise, anarchy, chaos. Spiritually, God says, I made you. I know what is best for you. How many times have your daddy said that to your sons and daughters? Mamas, how many times have you said it? And if you know it and understand it with a child in this earthly realm, with your finite mind, how much more God, with his infinite wisdom, says, I know what's best for you. So here are some things you be sure to do. Here are some things, don't you do this. This is not good for you. This doesn't bring glory to me. This dishonors me. This will bring you heartache and disappointment. And throughout God's Word, there are instructions about what we are to do in this spiritual pilgrimage that we're on. And that's what the Bible is. It teaches us. The question is, are we listening? Are we learning? We may go to Bible class, we may hear the sermons, but are we paying attention? And some of you may remember me telling about Brother James Bales when he was teaching at Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas. There was a guest on campus one day, and Brother Bales was escorting this guest across the campus, and this guest said, "Brother Bales, how many students do you all have here?" And he said, "Oh, about half the enrollment." You can be enrolled and not be a student, can't you? Some one of us want to testify to that. So we have the Bible. We hear it preached. We study it in classes. But are we students learning what God has given as our regulations? So the Bible gives you that. God's regulations. And finally, the Bible reveals God's basis for judgment. Do you remember the words of Jesus Christ in John 12, verse 48, where Jesus said, "The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day"? Do you remember the words in Revelation 20, verse 12, that says the dead, this is what John saw in his revelation that God gave him, the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. So on the judgment day, how meaningless, how empty it will be to say, "But Lord, I thought," or to say, "But my mama said." God is going to judge you and me by that book. We understand the books here in reference to the Old Testament Scriptures, the New Testament Scriptures, and the dispensations, the patriarchal, the mosaical, and the Christian age, and the laws to which each people or those people were subject to when they lived under those laws. So the Scriptures reveal to us the will of God for us in the Christian age. And that's what I'll be judged by. Well, it will not be a popularity contest. It'll not be like a county or state election. It will be by what I have done with God's instruction to me. You see, that's why that young lady in Galway needed a copy of the Bible. And she needed Mr. Steve there to teach her and to tell her, "Young lady, God loves you. And Jesus died for you." And then she goes home and she says, "Mama, let me tell you what I heard today." Folks, there are people all around us like that, that need that message. But I'm telling you tonight, the appreciation for that book, the appreciation for that message, needs to start with us. And not take it for granted, but understand what a treasure. And then the next time you sing, you sing Holy Bible. Book. Divine. Precious. Treasure. Thou art mine. Because it tells me about God, about His will, the most important message in the world, God's regulations, and the basis by which He will judge me at the end of time. What a treasure. I hope it causes you to have a greater appreciation, a fresh appreciation for that great book, a gift from God. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, inviting and encouraging anyone in this room who's not a Christian to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you make the decision to become a Christian, you're making the greatest decision of your life. And if you believe in Christ as the only begotten Son of God, this book teaches you, act upon that faith. Make the decision to turn away from the practice of that which is evil, and openly, freely, happily confess that you believe in Christ, and submit to being immersed in water in His name to have all your sins washed away and rise to walk in newness of life. If there's anyone in this audience that needs to change your life to be right with God, we'll be glad to help you. Would you come while we stand and while we sing?